brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Srila Rupa Goswami, king. Srila Prabhupada, king. Srila Gauridas Pandit, king. So, did anyone explain about Julanyatra at all? So now we're going to read, continue reading, from one of Srila Rupa Goswami's books, very important book, Upadeshamrita. Srila Prabhupada has presented it as the Nectar of Instruction, which is direct translation, really, of the Sanskrit title. So, we're reading from text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Srila Prabhupada says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura writes in his Anuvritti commentary that too much endeavor to acquire knowledge on the part of mental speculators or dry philosophers falls within the category of atyahara, collecting more than needing it. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the endeavor of philosophical speculators to write volumes of books on dry philosophy devoid of Krishna consciousness is entirely futile. The work of Karamanis, who write volumes of books on economic development, also falls within the category of Atyahara. Atyahara, Prabhupada says it, collecting more than necessary, than needed. Similarly, those who have no desire for Krishna consciousness and are simply interested in possessing more and more material things, either in the shape of scientific knowledge or monetary gain, are all included under the control of Atyahara. Karmis labor to accumulate more and more money for future generations, only because they do not know their future position. Interested only in getting more and more money for their sons and grandsons, such foolish persons do not even know what their position is going to be in the next life. There are many incidents that illustrate this point. Once, a great karmi accumulated a vast fortune for his sons and grandsons. But later, according to his karma, he took his birth in a cobbler's house, located near the building which in his previous life he had constructed for his children. It so happened that when this very cobbler came to his former house, his former sons and grandsons beat him with shoes. Unless the karmis and jnanis become interested in Krishna consciousness, they will simply continue to waste their life in fruitless activities. That's Srila Prabhupada's talking there about Atyahara, collecting more than needed. So now Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about Niyamagraha. This is to do with the rules and regulations, either applying them to just being too dependent on them, or being too independent of them, just doing whatever one feels. Actually, Prabhupada gives an interesting description here. Accepting some of the scriptural rules and regulations for immediate benefit, as utilitarians advocate, is called niyama agraha. And neglecting the rules and regulations of the shastras, which are meant for spiritual development, is called niyama agraha. The word agraha means eagerness to accept, and agraha means failure to accept. By the addition of either of these two words to the word niyama, rules and regulations, the word niyamagraha is formed. Thus, niyamagraha has a twofold meaning that is understood according to the particular combination of words. Those interested in Krishna consciousness should not be eager to accept rules and regulations for economic advancement. Yet, they should very faithfully accept scriptural rules and regulations for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. They should strictly follow the regulative principles by avoiding illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. So just to mention a little bit here that Srila Prabhupada has talked about niyamagraha. Niyama means rules. And when either the word agraha, which has a long A, or agraha, same word but it has a short initial A, when either of these words are added to that first word, niyama, it becomes niyamagraha with a long A. A long A is like double the sound, you could say, of a single A. So niyama agraha then becomes niyamagraha, double A, long A. But niyama and agraha, which means now we have three A's, actually, technically, but still it's niyamagraha, as if it were two A's. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that understanding the word in those terms, then we can understand that it has two meanings depending on the application. And Srila Prabhupada explains both applications, and both are completely relevant. We should neither accept rules and regulations just because we think at least they're going to give us some immediate benefit or economic benefit, Prabhupada says here, as utilitarians may say. People, utilitarians means people are trying to do everything in very useful ways, be very practical about things. But in this context, being a utilitarian in terms of using the rules and regulations with a view to achieving some economic gain or some particular benefit, material benefit, this is not right. This is not right. Sometimes it happens like that, that someone has some problem. So they think, or maybe they're even told, that you chant Hare Krishna 100 times a day for 3 weeks. Isn't it something like that? And your problem will come. We've heard so many times this sort of idea. You fast on Friday, you know, and only eat after 5 o'clock for 2 months, and then you'll be relieved. Your money will come your way, or your health problems will go away, something like this. Or a classic case that Srila Prabhupada referred to elsewhere. Mahatma Gandhi wanted to become strong so he could become politically powerful. So even though he was married and he was middle-aged or thereabouts, but he decided to become celibate so he could become strong. And actually Prabhupada says he did. He did become strong. But again, it's a misuse of what is actually a rule which is intended for our spiritual development and upliftment. But now it's being used in a utilitarian way. We will achieve this material goal by, in this case, being celibate or whatever it may be. So this is very common. I think we all know that. Very, very common, particularly in Hinduism, it's very common. And this is called niyamagraha, in the sense of niyama agraha, accepting in a whimsical sort of way, following the rules and regulations in an improper way, with wrong emphasis, a wrong focus, and a wrong goal. Then there is niyamagraha, niyama-agraha, which means that someone may just not bother about the rules and regulations. Prabhupada says here that the devotees, they're very happy to accept the rules and regulations for their spiritual upliftment. They're very happy to do that. And Srila Prabhupada says particularly, the devotees should be very careful about following our four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. Devotees should be careful and always be mindful and always avoid these things. And if they do that and practice Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, render devotional service, they'll make very good advancement. But if they decide, if someone decides that it's a bit, I don't really feel like following some of these principles, I would like to go to Debonair's Pizza House from time to time. Hopefully no one will be looking, but I will duck in there. Something like that. Or worse, you know. Yeah. Some negligence in terms of following or not following these essential principles which are there for our upliftment in Krishna consciousness. So a devotee is neither. Of course, we also, there's another understanding, somewhat different understanding of niyamagraha in the sense of accepting in the wrong way, is that sometimes someone may become fanatical about the regulative principles, different rules and regulations. That if you sleep more than 6 hours, then this is very seriously wrong. Or even, I knew one devotee who passed away now, that somehow he had the idea that Srila Prabhupada said that that you should not eat more than 9 chickpeas a day. And we would sometimes eat more, and he would get very upset about that. So being overly fastidious and like punctilious and just too much concerned about the rules and regulations for their own sake, Prabhupada mentions this in a translation, this type of understanding of that term, then this is also in that category, as is accepting the rules and regulations, maybe not excessively, but for some ulterior purpose or just some utilitarian material type of purpose for your material benefit. So this festival that we are celebrating these 5 days, Radha Govinda Julan Yantra, it is one of those rules and regulations actually. If you read in Nectar of Devotion, you'll see Srila Rupa Goswami, again the same, Srila Rupa Goswami, has given in, I think, chapter 6, an extensive list of 64 rules and regulations, one of which is that you should observe all the festivals that are there for the deities. All the important festivals, they should be observed. So this Julan Yatra, swing festival, Julan means swing. Julan Yatra, this is a very old festival. And particularly, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose disappearance day it is today, he observed it very nicely, very beautifully, for his deities, Radha Govinda. This festival, of course, now it's August, it's the rainy season in India, only just after the rainy season like that in Vrindavan, where Rupa Goswami was living and worshipping Radha Govinda. And sometimes there are descriptions, sometimes, just like we have, a nice floral arrangement and so on. But sometimes, for Radha Govinda, they would make a flower house. I mean, like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 meters across, 3 or 4 meters from back to front, maybe 3 meters high, and all flowers with an entranceway, and then in the back there were Radha Govinda on their swing. So the devotees would go into the flower house and swing Radha Govinda. Very beautiful, because there's so many flowers there now. Everything is flowering and very opulent and very nice. So Rupa Goswami would observe like that. The festival goes back, we are told, it goes back to one time when Radha and Krishna had one particular pastime in Darshanam. If you know a little bit about the geography of Vrindavan Dham, Darshana is in western Braj Mandala and is a very beautiful hilly area, 5 major hills, covered in forest. Even now it's very beautiful, very attractive. So we can just imagine 400 or 500 years ago, very, very beautiful, exceptionally beautiful area. Anyway, 5,000 years ago, one time, Krishna, somehow, he became a little mischievous and transcendentally irritated Srimati Radharani. Transcendentally. So Radharani would transcendentally not speak to him. Yes, it's all transcendental. So she wouldn't speak to him, and Krishna was just becoming very concerned and trying different things, different ways, but nothing would work to get Radharani to speak to him. So she went in her, that mood of anger, transcendental anger, she went up on one of the hills. It's now called Vilaskar, the place of pastimes. And there she was just there with her girlfriends. So Krishna, being very enterprising and totally determined when it comes to achieving the favor of Srimati Radharani, Krishna disguised himself as a gopi. Yes, a gopi basically. Female disguise, and came up there, and everyone, all the girls were wondering, who is this new girl we've never saw before? But it was Krishna, but they couldn't tell. And then this new girl, Krishna, said, you know, I'm a singer. I've come to sing for Radharani. So Krishna, as a gopi, sang with a female voice for Radharani. So